This is the Formation Lab.
Welcome, 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 welcome to another fine episode of the Formation Lab. Mayamo Ukle. I'm joined by Imtay. Tim, I think we start this episode off with a apology. Come clean. How do we put this?
Explanation.
Yeah.
Explanation. I don't know how many apologies are in order, except if we disappointed anybody, then we definitely are sorry. However, the circumstances were unfortunate and unavoidable. And me and Luke have had our own versions of just a hellish summer. Mental stressy. Yeah, very for both of us. Work schedules being pretty wild in the, 70 hour plus range each. I know Luke's travel schedule has been hilarious, how he, has remained as svelte as he is, considering what I would look like John Candy for those of a certain age and taste bracket that will get that joke. But it's just been a hard one, guys. We're sorry. We haven't been able to get together to record for about 3 or 4 weeks now at this point. And we just had to take a little hiatus. Good news is that Formula One competition wise has been just hilariously boring. I'm not really that. I didn't even catch Spa, which is just hilariously bad on me, because that's my favorite race. Again, mental stressy, just a lot of shit on my plate. Nothing but mounds of it everywhere. And, I wasn't even able to catch it. So I'm hoping Luke can catch me up on that. Looks like according to therace.com, Daniel Ricciardo had a pretty poor return. Nyck de Vries found himself unemployed. Otmar Szafnauer found himself unemployed. It's been an interesting, more political one, which we think we can condense into one episode.
Yeah,
because the racing is just boring as shit.
I was gonna say, the good news with F1 is that in terms of the on-track action, it's exactly what you thought it was. So, congratulations, Tim. You didn't see Spa. Blinders on. Who do you think won in commanding fashion?
Oh man, is it? The worst champion of all time, Max Verstappen?
Correctamundo. All right, now moving on to our next race.
I actually had this like whole diatribe in my head. I was walking my dogs out in the woods, and I was thinking like a week ago about like stuff I would want to talk to you about on our next show, trying to bring some content, some other, alternative stuff. And I'm like, God, he is just a terrible champion. Even if he won on merit the first time, which he didn't. His petulance on the radio lately, his petulance to his team, his utter unwillingness to for any type of decency, he's just the worst. He is the ultimate fast guy, but he is just a god awful human being.
It is too far we have missed to go into this tangent again. We'll save it for the offseason.
I know.
Gosh, it is. I feel like, it's funny because if you go on Twitter, you go on anywhere online, they're like, you're not a real, F1 guy, blah, blah, blah. You got to watch the midfield. And like, I agree, there has been some midfield intrigue, but gosh, this season, it really is just poor, man. I'm a racing guy. I think this is the separation we're seeing this season between the racing guys and the Formula One guys, because I've often said they're very two pretty different crowds.
They are. There's a supremacy aspect to the F1 guys and how you have to understand these things. And, did we have to pay attention to the midfield at the peak of Lewis at his powers? Sure.
Yeah.
But Lewis also, it was more interesting. It wasn't this much of a bludgeoning.
Even when it was, you'd catch me kvetching about it on some of our early episodes.
I know, and we called it then too. But it's like, well, you can't make they haven't had a really good fight at the front in a while.
Yeah. So
speaking of 2021.
Yeah. Speaking of fronts, yes. I think that's one of the we took some time off things that I want to hit on. Is McLaren is surely finding themselves up. They found quite a bit of speed, baby. This isn't a trash season anymore as it is a recovery season. I think they're going to end this season stronger than they've been in quite some time. You're starting to see them up near the front. You're seeing them briefly in the lead of some things. Which even the fact I know, oh man, Piastri gets past Max Verstappen on lap one and then fails to hold him off for 10 laps in the sprint race. And it's like, okay, yeah, like I know Max was always going to win that. But just to have the opportunity to lead a lap speaks volumes to where McLaren is now, even compared to last year, year before. McLaren, I think, is they're sneaking their way in. They've got their foot in the door into being one of the big teams. Not like big in terms of money, but when you talk about the big three, it's like every race is led by a Ferrari, Mercedes, Red Bull over the last decade and a half.
As I'm looking at them, these Spa results don't reflect that, though.
They don't. However, Oscar Piastri started in second. He had a mechanical DNF.
And Lando's weekend was much better.
Yeah, but Oscar Piastri qualified second, though. He's second.
I would say I'm excited to hear someday about the update they brought, because even Mika Häkkinen was in the press talking about how everyone was going to be impressed by the upgrade in straight line speed and all out pace for the McLaren. He said he believes that the package they were bringing was revolutionary.
It is. I mean, look, think about the dog turd that this car was to start the year off. I mean, we were talking about McLaren possibly being the slowest team on the grid at one point this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's disregard Belgium. That's DNFs. DNFs happen to any team. I'm not like excusing those failures, but when you have a mechanical DNF, it's not a testament to how fast your cars become. It's a testament to reliability, right?
Right.
So let's disregard that and go back to.
But Mika was right. Let's go back to Silverstone.
I was literally going to say, let's go back to Silverstone. That's pure pace. Max Verstappen won. Lando Norris, too. Let's go back to the race right after that in Hungary. Max Verstappen won. Lando Norris, 2. Checo, 3. Lando Norris is consistently finding himself up to the front. And when he isn't, you can go look at Belgium. And I know, mechanical DNS, blah, blah, blah. But when you go look at fastest laps, or not fastest laps, when you go look at the qualifying sheet, you go look at the qualifying sheet, Lando Norris in 7th, sprint grid. There it is. Oscar Piastri starts the sprint grid, starts the sprint in 2nd, finishes the sprint in 2nd, starts in 2nd. You're looking at some good pace, man. It's
definitely great pace. I just hope it remains consistent and it bounces back. I think that they would, legitimately give Ferrari a push out of P2. If they're given the chance, I think they can make that.
When is the last time Ferrari was on the podium? That's a great question. Because to me, Ferrari is the weakest of the big three, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't think that's really a question. Mercedes has a bit of pace, but they look like Red Bull did during some of those down years. Austria, Leclerc finished 3rd. Leclerc finished 3rd in Azerbaijan, 2nd in Austria, and that's the only time you've seen a Ferrari on the podium. So right now,
not good.
Lando Norris has as many podiums
as Ferrari.
And more second places than Ferrari.
I'm just saying. A shakeup at the top, at least away from the bleeding edge of Red Bull, is possible. That said, I don't know. I think other teams are more interesting right now, which I think we need to talk about just what the hell happened over at Alpine in Spa. Like, that just erupted.
What? Why? I, So Otmar Szafnauer is officially gone from Alpine, and Otmar had some choice words, Tim.
Yeah, he wasn't kind. And to be honest, I don't blame him a bit.
No, I really don't either. I'm not going to act like Otmar is God's gift to team management. He's no Toto Wolff, right? He's no Christian Horner. But Otmar Szafnauer is one of the most capable guys on the grid outside of the A-plus tier.
You have to get
a Toto Wolff to have an upgrade from Otmar Szafnauer.
Yeah, and we saw it in the Force India days. He runs a tight ship.
He's
really good at what he does. And, you know, racing wise, he's got, you know, a great acumen to him. But what it feels like is that the leadership at Alpine and Renault is just messing this up. Otmar had a scathing statement afterward. He said it's like, impregnating 9 women and wanting the baby by the end of the month.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work. And, you know, Alain Prost came out and had really harsh words for his sacking. He was notified via the press that it was his last weekend.
Which is
That's so wild. Disrespectful.
So wild. Disrespectful.
What a way to go. I've heard someone's got to be hiring right now. Ferrari might be here soon. I don't know.
First off, I absolutely hate notifying anyone via the press. That is a very classless move in sports. Okay.
Like
that's
to me
just, yeah, any profession, but especially like not every profession gets that, but sports, like you get that all the time. And it's like, that's just, it's a statement more on how poorly run your organization is than it is, you know. Here's the thing too, is even if you're notified via the press, sometimes you get a bad GM of like a sports team and everyone just kind of knows he's on his last crutch. So it's not really a surprise. And
yeah,
someone leaked it before, like an hour or two before the official meeting. I don't think anybody guessed Otmar was on his last crutch.
No. And especially like with some of the progress they had seen, you know, they did some weird stuff before he came. Cyril Abitbol had them on a really weird track. And then they kind of did this platoon thing. And then, mm-hmm. you know, now they've switched to Otmar. And I just, man, to have sacked him now is just bonkers. It is bananas to me. I don't know. I don't understand it. I think this is just a very French thing to do.
Yeah.
And they've never had a more French team. They've got two French drivers. It is perfect.
Here's what drives me nuts is people like, I think people expect championships that shouldn't be expecting championships, including maybe the Renault higher ups. Cause remember folks, Alpine is owned by Renault. It's their sports car brand. Because you look at Otmar's track record, I would be shocked if he's not a team principal by next year, by 2024 or 2025 again. He ran Force India into being a competitor, not a championship competitor, but he was
a race competitor. Checo Perez
on literally a shoestring budget. He couldn't have afforded an extra shoestring. He came in there with Skechers, dude.
Yeah.
He ran it on a shoestring budget. Then they get bought over by Aston Martin, which he only left Aston Martin, by the way, last year, like January of last year, right?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, look who's third in the championship right now. A team that still to this day has his fingerprints all over it. With all due respect towards, you know, Mike Crack, this Aston Martin team right now is Otmar's team. You know,
philosophically, for sure.
Philosophically, and all the groundwork was Otmar.
Yeah.
And they're third in the points. Alpine, yeah, you're sitting sixth, but he's literally had a season and a half to build the groundwork. And I wouldn't even call Alpine having a terrible year. You're theoretically probably better than McLaren for most of the year until McLaren got that upgrade and started getting podiums. So, like,
I think it's ridiculous.
You can't chase down Ferrari. Not a lot of people can. It takes time.
Right. And it's, you know, I don't know. I think it's just bananas. You know, maybe he's paying for Cyril's, for the endless faith and budget that Cyril got all those years. Yeah. Where, you know, he kept saying, no, 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 we need more development. We need this. We need that. Cyril really didn't know what he was doing that much of the time.
I never got that impression that he knew what he was doing.
No, he has no idea. And, you know, he's just looking at peacocking in the paddock. But, you know, I don't know, man. It just feels like a knee-jerk reaction to disappointment from a previous administration, and it's just stupid. And they don't have the F1 backing that they used to have because they lost the CEO over at Renault because he did the whole embezzlement thing. So, you know, whatever.
It's going to be interesting when it come 2024 or 2025, because I don't even think he had the time to put his fingerprints on, right? You see that in other sports every once in a while where a GM comes in, blows it up for like a season or two, and then gets fired. And it's like, well, he didn't even have time to get his guys in there. It's not even his team yet, you know? I don't think Alpine is going to reflect negatively on the legacy or resume, shall we say, of Otmar Szafnauer, because it's not even his team yet, man. Like,
no, and it's unfortunate, you know. I think his analogy is right. They're like, okay, we're pregnant now. I want the baby like next week, and it's like that's not how any of this works.
That's not how this works.
No, there has to be development. There has to be learning, and you know, failing and failing better, and you know, trying to decipher the unknown. And it's just kind of crazy. I don't know. They are their own worst enemy.
They really are. I think honestly, Alpine will never be a champion unless Renault itself changes. That's the impression I'm starting to get.
I would agree.
It's up top. You can have all the endless resources in the world, and you still build a shitbox like that. So I want to go from one back of the grid to another back of the grid team, or rear side of the grid, we'll say, team. Because I'm just saw a headline today, Junior, that one AlphaTauri is in talks with Hugo Boss for a possible title sponsorship. I saw some talks that perhaps Andretti is in the mix. This was about a week ago that Andretti might be in the mix or AlphaTauri. To me, I want to see an 11th team on the grid. But at the same time, you can't be talking about how it would thin out the grid when we literally have AlphaTauri is kind of a joke that it exists if you're going to do a 10 team only championship. You know what I'm saying? Like it's literally Red Bull. It's Red Bull's B team. They will never be allowed to compete for a championship, even if they had the resources, because it's Red Bull's B team. And they can say they're not related all they want, or they run it two
it's
separate ways.
It's a sister team. Yeah.
It's a sister team, and it's bullshit. A little sister team.
Uh-huh.
And it always will be the little sister.
Yeah. And you know, they would need to be sold before that could change. And I agree with you. I saw a quote from MBS the other day saying, you know, hey, we can absolutely run 12. We're running 11 right now with the Hollywood film crew. Because Brad Pitt's new movie is actively filming with an F2 car among F1 cars.
For as much as they can film with the strike going on. But I'm sure that's limiting things, right?
I'm sure that's putting a damper on things. For those who haven't watched, obviously, the Screen Actors Guild and the Writers Guild of America are on strike. Because,
and if you film a movie or commercial right now in America, you are, how we say, fucked by the...
Oh, yeah, you're a scab. No one likes a scab.
No one likes a scab, but especially not the Screen Actors Guild, because that is a powerful-ass union, man.
Yeah, but hey, I'm all for the union.
I am too.
So
but
go for it, guys.
Anyway, but we can run 11. We can run 12. We've already run 11.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, well, that's absolutely true. And I don't know. I would like to see an expansion as well. I think Stefano Domenicali is siding with the F1 teams here because, yeah, he doesn't want to hear it about the prize money getting split up anymore. Ferrari, that's their lifeblood. You know, it's tough. To try to sway the politics of it currently. But I don't know, man, we'll see. As this progresses, would I like to see AlphaTauri purchased? Hugo Boss doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I don't know how much growth AlphaTauri themselves have experienced in their clothing brand. Or if Hugo Boss is just seeing it like, oh, it's a clothing company, so maybe we'll get, you know, Mercedes engines and it'll just be a reverse thing for us.
You're telling me that a Hugo Boss team is going to buy the German engines?
Yeah, because that kind of tracks. You know, they were Mercedes.
Let me guess. They're going to be a black and red team, and maybe a splash of white in there.
Could be. I hear they have a lot of leather. We're going to find out what that's all about.
Have you seen our helmets? Dark. They've got skulls on them.
What's with the eagles on the helmets? That's weird. You know, what's with the target sign on their heads? That's also kind of strange.
God.
It's a good luck symbol mind. Somewhere.
Yeah.
It's an occult symbol.
Yeah. Oh, you know, Max, if at this point you guys sign up for driving.
If at this point the listeners can't take a joke about Nazis, come on, man. Let us have one or two. Jesus. Hugo Boss was legendarily the designer for the German Nazis, and it was funny because they were the prime clothing manufacturer and sponsor for the Mercedes team before Tommy Hilfiger came in. Yeah. So they all wore Hugo Boss and they were German. I'm like, that's a bit on the nose, guys.
Bit on the nose, yeah. By the way, I should mention, obviously, this doesn't need saying, but I will say it anyway. The Formation Lap does not endorse or condone Nazism of any kind. Thank you.
No, we actively enjoy shitting on it.
But we do,
fascism, kids is bad.
We do enjoy jokes, though.
I was going to say, we do. Gallows humor is kind of our thing.
speaking of AlphaTauri, while I want expansion, you can't even argue we really have 9 full competitors. We can't have 10 full competitors because, like I said, AlphaTauri will always be a little sister team. So I'm actually a little excited to see AlphaTauri, if it goes through, get bought out, get reorganized, get decoupled from Red Bull in some way. I think that would be a benefit to Formula One. I think Red Bull is kind of the highlight of our little time off, though, Tim, because I'm telling you, the Daniel Ricciardo, Nick DeVries move.
I think they were trying to see if he's actually ready and if they can replace Checo.
That's how it reads to me. Checo ain't cutting it, baby. No,
I think Checo is cutting it, you know, in the best way he can. I don't think they've let. I think they are getting immense pressure from Max and Jos Verstappen, because Checo has kind of ruffled his feathers on a few occasions, and he is that weak of a person.
Who owns this team at that point? Like.
Oh, Max has owned it the whole time.
I know, but like, you are a little more astute than me, and you have a better memory in these things. Lewis has had, still does, perhaps, a diva side to him. But was ever any question? Dude, Lewis was the biggest diva on the grid for
a
long time. It's part of the reason why I soured on him over those years.
Was when he marched up to the steward's office to challenge a penalty. And I'm like, bro.
And they just said no.
Like, get the fuck out of here. Who are you?
But was there ever any question that Toto ran that team?
No.
I feel like Max runs the team as much as Christian does. Christian is almost like the freaking...
I would say
commentator
more so
for the team.
No, I would say more so.
He's
Christian
the figurehead,
has
but not
Christian yeah. has well, Christian does run it overall, but Christian has kind of given himself a servitude attitude toward Max, mm-hmm. and he is cowed to some of his demands. And so Max sees. I mean, you let a what's the saying? You let a donkey or a let a camel get its nose in the tent. It's just going to run all around. That's exactly what's happening here is that, let's go back to 2018, right? 5 years ago, Azerbaijan, Baku. We have an incident where there has been a new rule that because of Max Verstappen's driving style, moving twice under braking, because it causes accidents. And then what does Max do going into a 90-degree turn? He goes for the dummy that Daniel sells him. Daniel has him dead to rights, and he moves again under braking. So he breaks his own rule, and he causes a collision, taking them both out. And mm-hmm. Red Bull turned on Daniel Ricciardo. And that's what made Daniel Ricciardo leave, is that they treated it like that. And he's owned them ever fucking since. It's ridiculous how much he runs that team. You know, he has his choice of who's to come and go, and he just kind of mullers everybody. No one talks back to their race engineer that much. And they say, oh, it's just the guy's having fun. That's how they are. He's emotional, and he's a petulant child. It's like, this is not what I want to do. I just won't do this anymore. Blah. And his first instinct always when he doesn't get his way is to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And it's like, there's no nuance. It's either this kid's way or the highway. And that's what he shows to the public. I'm absolutely 1,000,000% sure that he is all types of worse in private. And so, yeah. And I think his dad is more so. His dad has more racial overtones to his shittiness as well. So, yeah, I think that they're trying to force Checo out. I think race does play a part of it for Yoss. I think that Max not getting his way plays it for Max.
Again,
I don't think he has any racial animus. I think he just thinks that he's better than everybody.
I go back again just to how underappreciated Valtteri Bottas was as a number two driver. Because Checo, I think
by
Checo's,
the way, Checo's Valtteri been a good... is having my favorite season of all. Like that guy has
you almost
has
forget
done
he
the
even
work.
What?
I
was gonna say I don't
follow him on social media for his racing anymore. I do it because he's cool. Because
he's cool. He's having fun.
He's himself.
He's old Beardy Bottas now.
He's Mullety Bottas.
Mullety Bottas. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's got
he's got the regal mane. He's cycling a ton, you know, with his with his girlfriend, who just seems like the best thing that's ever happened to him. Yeah. I just think that, like, you know, when you see, you know, trying to see the modern day man trying to be, you know, more evolved and more unapologetically themselves, seeing Bottas go that far, man, I'm a fan. I have an AlphaTauri shirt Alfa Romeo shirt that I purchased at the Indy 500 with you, Luke. I think you were with me when I got that thing.
Yep,
that's my new favorite jersey because it's, you know, Valtteri is just Valtteri. I love it.
He's just Valtteri. So, what else do we got? Oh,
because you can imagine him just being stoned as shit after a race. And
or
just being
drunk,
cool to hang out with.
No,
he doesn't strike me as too much of a drinker. He strikes me as a, hey, let's get a little toasty, go grab a bike and go do some mountain biking. That sounds sick.
So,
go skinny dipping.
Yeah. So here's another question for me to you. Does Nyck de Vries get another shot in Formula One?
No.
No, I don't. I don't think that's it. I think he got shit canned too early. I don't think he was lighting the world on fire, but I do think I would have given him through the end of the season. You got nothing to lose if you didn't have a Daniel Ricciardo as a reserve driver. However, I don't think he showed enough to where other teams don't go. He would have had to have a really, really, really good stretch to recover.
There's
100 drivers behind him that you don't know what they are. So
right, and there's, you know, you just don't have that anymore. Yeah. That's not a thing anymore. You know, the every team spoken for right now. You know, I haven't seen Logan Sargeant's results lately. They don't seem horrible.
He's driving.
He is driving. I think that's the only like weak point probably in the entire grid. But Mercedes and Williams have seemed to cool on their relationship as Dorlson Capital takes them in another direction.
I want to give Williams a little shout out here. Dude, like, they're still hobbling along on crutches. Don't get me wrong, but they're moving.
They are moving.
They're not. You're seventh in the standings, tied with Haas. Haas has not had a good season, but Hey, man, if you guys didn't watch Williams in 2019, 2020, even 2021, they have 11 points. That's points.
Yeah.
Williams have
they
points.
They have points, and that's a lot of that's down to Albon.
There was one point in which Williams was outscored by Robert Kubica, who was in one race. That's how bad they were back in the day. Their entire season was outscored by Robert Kubica. I think Williams is going in the right direction. The question is, how close could they catch up? Because they're best of F1.8. Right. If you divide Formula One, we always joke Formula One, then there's Formula One and a half, which is the midfield. Right.
Yeah. And then there's Formula Two.
Yeah. And then there's Formula Two. Williams lead Formula Two. They just have to go jump up to Formula One and a half. And anytime you jump up from Formula, jump up that half step in that meme, that's where the big problems start to arise.
It's more populous, and it's a lot harder to stay.
Yeah. So my other thing that I wanted to get to here is swapping over to the IndyCar front. I love what Alex Palou's done this season. It's been a banger of a season, but this has been F1's equivalent of Max Verstappen's series. This is IndyCar's equivalent, because Alex Palou won, what was it, four races in a row?
Yeah, four? It was a good streak.
Keep in mind, winning three is usually, I think, the median number for how many wins an average champion has. So,
he's on a good pace.
Well done, sir.
Don't sleep on Alex Palou.
The news that I wanted to hit that actually just came out right before we did this. Nashville is going to be your new series finale. Don't mind that. It's a big, glitzy, glamorous race, theoretically. But they're moving the race location, Tim. They're doing what they should have done to start with, but I understand that you needed to organize the event first. They're going into down lower Broadway in Nashville. It's going to be an entirely new course, or mostly new course, down lower Broadway. You're going to see the honky-tonk bars on the side of the track. Brilliant. You should have been doing this all along. I understand you wanted to get, you probably were like, let's just get a race up and running, then we can do Broadway. But I think that I'm not a huge fan of a street circuit as the finale. I am a fan of running down lower Broadway in the finale. That feels actually appropriate.
It feels good. I like the layout. I don't know how well the pit lane is going to go, as that is super tight, so coming in and out, I hope that plays better than it looks like people will be coming in hot. Cause if you remember, Connor Daly coming off that bridge, that's where they're going to be coming off and going to pit. He came in, hot. So we'll see how it goes. I'm excited too. I think it's a better layout. I think it'll lend to better racing. It was too narrow and too tight on the other end before. And I like it. I think that'll be good.
Keep in mind, folks, if you're trying to picture it in your mind, picture exactly what we have now flipped, right? So the side of the race with the football stadium, that's basically going to be a carousel-esque turn with a pit lane. Okay. The other side, when it was super narrow up after the bridge, that's actually going to be a rectangle going through downtown, including lower Broadway. It's same, but different. The key is these are going to be wider turns. These are going to be actual like two lane by two lane city streets that you're going around the corners of, which should widen things up a little more. You're keeping the spectacular bridge shot. Like you said, the pit lane is going to be a little hinky dinky.
I hope we iron that part out very quickly.
I think they're either going to iron it out, or IndyCar drivers are going to iron it out for them.
I was going to say, man, a downhill hot.
On cooked tires that you need to change.
Yeah, you're that's going to be, I don't know there, Bob, but it's going to be an interesting one.
But you know what? In a way, I think IndyCar has its competitive shot alongside, because we talk about F1 and F1. Why does F1 race in Vegas? Well, one, it's the world entertainment capital. It only makes sense. But two, F1 really wants that shot. And I think everyone knows that F1 wants that shot. And everyone does actually want to see that shot. I want to see that shot of the strip and the cars going down the strip. IndyCar just found its equivalent. Cars down lower Broadway. It's not quite the Vegas strip, but it isn't. It's a little different, but you will see those shots come through and it will look spectacular. Tim, I know you've been in Nashville, right?
Yep.
You've seen lower Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
You can picture that. I can picture that. That is F1's equivalent shot.
I think
Vegas.
It'll be a really spectacular overall effect. I think it'll be fantastic to see it because, I mean, the bars that you party at aren't far away. They're a stone's throw from where these cars are going to be flying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it'll be really great for the sport. Okay. Yeah, I think the shots are going to be amazing. Are you kidding? Seeing the bars behind the cars as they roll through? No mm-hmm. way. That's going to be fantastic advertising.
And again, I will miss having a West Coast race, be it Sonoma or Laguna as the finale. But Laguna Seca is still on the calendar. It's just going to be not the finale anymore. And that going down Lower Broadway feels Lower Broadway, and the bridge is still there. The bridge is nutty too. That feels like a spectacular. That feels like a rainbow road. Like might not be the best track, but you can tell that this one's special and it's the last one, you know?
Yeah.
So I endorse it. I think we're all going to have we're all going to be quite pleased with how awesome that's going to turn out. And then one other thing that I just saw as well. And you tell me if there's any meat on this bone, because I have my own take. Liberty has admitted that the Las Vegas F1 race, the costs are rising. The setup costs are about $300 million now. Tim, I read this, and I'm not a Vegas local, but I go there a lot, be it for work, be it for, I have a lot of relatives out there. My thought just goes to no shit. That's a no-brainer. People might read that and be like, it's a doomed race, but like, you're building shit in Vegas.
You're building shit in Vegas. I don't know. $300 million's a lot.
It is. It is.
And, you know, I'm sure that
I think you're going to make it back.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm seeing a broad corporate desire to tighten our belts as the headwinds increase. You know, I think that there's been some shenanigans in our economy. And I think that a few things are going to come tumbling down. And I think that some pretty smart people do too. And so that's why you see Liberty Media trying to bring Vegas back to the table. Doomed race, probably not. No. they have the interest. But you're seeing ticket prices increase and attendance decrease. So you're starting to lose your core base, which is bad. I don't know.
You could talk about the average fan and their income and all that, and I get that. But I think F1, if you're really looking at those ticket price increase and fan and attendance decrease, you have to look back at the product on which you're putting on the table. Because you saw fan base kind of, you saw attendance dwindle during the Lewis years. You saw, you want a good race, put on a good show. I will say though, does not surprise me that the F1 project in Vegas is overrunning. One, you're building in Vegas. You're building in one of the hottest construction markets on planet Earth continuously 24/7, always runs over cost. Two, you're building a statement structure. This isn't just going to be a street race structure. It's permanent grandstands and a permanent paddock building that doubles as an exhibition space and an entertainment space 365 days a year. It's not going to be cheap. It's going to be the F1's own very building on the strip, almost like its own casino. So yeah, it's going to be expensive. I don't think a single project in Vegas doesn't go over budget. I don't think there's a lot there.
No. Oh, no.
So anyway, I think that catches us up. Timoteo, what all? Anything else we're missing that we need to hit? I do want to hit. I went to see Moto America Superbikes at Brainerd International Raceway last weekend. They were tremendous. Go out, support your local racetrack, even dirt ovals, dirt tracks, drag strips, you name it. Go out, watch some racing this weekend, and we'll talk to you about the less exciting than whatever you want to go watch, Dutch GP.
Deuces.